slowly rolling into it and off of corner number four. It's showtime at Skagit Speedway. It's showtime!
One car with the front of it that was junk, and another car with the back of it was junk. So I cut both of them in half, took the good part of one car and the good part of the other car, and welded up the other.
The reason why I decided to, you know, move to Sean's number and use it was just because in memory of Sean was his V8. And, you know, I just kind of lived for racing and racing with his number just to remember him by.
Racing, and next thing you know, she's on the flag stand running, the, you know, doing flag and all my quarterback. I'm like, where did you come from?
You definitely have to want it. You know, you can't just say you want it. You got to want it. You got to have that desire that drives you.
I hope they just, like, soak it all in, because you don't know when it could be over, right? Like, you might, hey, like, mom and dad can't do this anymore, right? Like, yeah. We don't have the money, or we can't find the sponsors, whatever it is. I just soak it all up while it's happening.
That was at Elma. This is a different track. I don't think it'll be the same thing. He's like, oh, okay, you can throw it on. We threw the GoPro on his car, and he actually did pretty good that night, I believe. So we're like, see, convinced him. I was like, see, it's only at Elma. You can't run a GoPro. And then the next week, I believe he blew up a motor with the GoPro on, so I haven't put a GoPro on his car since then.
Well, welcome into this special edition of On the Gas, presented by Skagit Speedway. It's night two of the Skagit National with Kubota High Limit Racing. I'm Eric List. We got Blake Anderson and a very special guest joining us today, Kevin Erdine. Kevin, thank you so much for being here. What an exciting weekend this is for Skagit Speedway to have Kubota High Limit here again and paying $126,000.
Yeah, I'm super proud of everybody up here. Super happy to have the High Limits here. The track looks great. Everybody's done a good job as far as the staff. I think we're really blessed with a good group of people to run this place.
How crazy is it, Kev, when you look at, you know, where Skagit was when you purchased it now almost 4 years ago to where it is now, when you think we're paying now 2 six-figure paydays in one season.
I know. It's just community involvement and sponsor involvement and, you know, being on Flow and having support from Flow and Angels of the Wind and all the people, I can't name them all, that step up and make this possible.
Of all the racetracks in the United States, why was Skagit Speedway the one that you wanted to purchase and the one that you wanted to call your own?
Well, I don't know that I wanted to know. Skagit, I don't know. Skagit was my home track, right? So even though I was kind of based out of the Spokane area, the closest dirt track that I got to start racing at was Skagit, and I could only come here once or twice a month, so 6 to 8 races a year, but it was home. And when the opportunity came to buy it, it sounded like a good challenge and a way for me to help support the sport in this area.
What's it like getting over here and seeing it? I feel like every time you get here, we've got something new, something that's changed. How cool is it to get over here and see what's changing here as the facility continues to evolve almost weekly? We feel like we're doing something different at Skagit Speedway.
That's awesome. And it just, again, speaks to, it's not me, it's the group of people running the facility over here. You guys and Hager and all the people in concessions and everything. It's I'm amazed when I pull in how good of a team you guys have here. And I'm really proud of that. And I tell people all the time, it's not me that makes Skagit. It's the 100 people that make it happen on a race weekend.
You've worked with John a long time. Eric and I get to work with him pretty much daily, especially during the season.
I'm sorry.
But I feel like, I mean, you know, Kev, I've gotten to travel a lot and see a lot of racetracks with the All-Stars of the years, but I feel like John thinks a lot differently than really any general manager in the country on the way that we go about things on a daily basis, and I think that's a large part why we see the growth. Is it like that for you? Was it a lot different thinking when you brought him in on the management side of things as well?
Well, it's great because John doesn't come from a race background. Yeah. He comes from a real estate, but mostly a people person. He runs the Erdine management side of it. So he's good with people and he's a good promoter, but he didn't have all that race ideas in his head, so it's wide open. And what he comes up with, some of the time it's like, no, that's not going to work. But but 90% of the time it's new, fun, good ideas. He just looks at it different. And anybody that knows John at all knows that he just thinks differently all across the board, which is, I think, what we love about him.
So here's a two-part question for you. How did you meet John the first time?
John was renting an apartment, working in the apartment industry, and Kirk, my CFO, was in Seattle, needed a place to live, and John was the guy that rented him his apartment.
Okay. So were you the one then who introduced John to racing, or had he known about it?
No, I think when John was a kid, he spent some time in Colorado, and he went out to the local dirt track out there and stuff, if I'm remembering. I think that's true. But, yeah, he sure got addicted then when he started hanging around with, you know, back in the day when it was Jimmy Carter and Shane Anderson and Matt Steinauer, when our shop was in Monroe here, and all those guys that helped build Rudine Racing.
How fun was it last night watching the 26 run up front? I know we're one spot short of where you guys want to strive to be, but seeing the 26 up front at your home track has to be maybe a little bit more special than just an ordinary track.
Anytime it's up front is awesome, and it was really fun till lap 25, and then that darn 24 car, that guy was just hooked up last night, you know. But again, I'm proud of those guys. We've been up and down all year and struggling just even at Chico, and then to come out with this group of cars and run that well last night, I was super proud of them. They don't get their heads down. They stay positive and get back to work, and we had a great night last night. Super proud. Rico's fast, so you can run 1-2 any high limit race. That's good. You're on the podium at a high limit race, you're good.
I think that's four out of the six races here at Skagit that Rico's won. I mean, this is kind of his place where he comes and gets his season back on the rails. It's happened last year. It got him back on the rails, and the last couple weeks have been a little bit down for Rico, and now all of a sudden back in victory lane.
Yeah, we're going to start him at the back for the rest of the week. No matter what. He just starts last.
Last night he came from 7th, so I think we need to start him deeper tonight.
We start him like 24th, like his car number.
I think that's fair.
I'll talk to him about that today, see what he thinks.
He'll start where your car number is tonight, guys.
No, I'm not doing that.
No, you can't do that.
That puts you in a B-main, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
What do you see your 3 to 5 year plan for the Skagit Nationals? Do you have a thought process kind of for it?
I just want to keep growing it. You know, I want to make it more of an event. Mm-hmm. It's always good to get the purse up, but that bowling deal we had the other night and getting the race teams together outside of the racetrack, and the events are what we need in our sport. And just like Brad does such a good job at Chico, you know, Port Royal next week with the fair going on and stuff. And this is what we need. This is full day entertainment stuff. And, I just want to keep growing that. And I was really happy with the bowling and Angels of the Wind and what we did there. And I think the teams liked it too. The end together outside of the track.
Where'd you and Monica end up finishing?
Oh, we were close. Okay. Almost won.
Okay.
Right there. Right in the mix.
We were right in the mix. I mean, we were within a couple hundred pins. So I don't know.
I like that.
It's funny you talk about the event, because I was telling Caleb Hart, our weekly announcer here, not even an hour ago, after we have a meeting at 2:00 every day where we go over everything. And right after the meeting, I told him, I said, Caleb, I've only been here, 18 months now. So this is my second year. But this morning being here, campers riding bikes around and milling around, I told Caleb, I said, this is really the first time that it's felt different at Skagit, where it truly, I feel like we've really made a leap towards that event status with so many campers milling around the campground active. Even at Dirt Cup, we had just as many campers, but they were a lot quieter in the morning, where this morning there was people out walking around, walking through the grandstands. And I'm like, okay, I felt like, all right, we're heading in the right direction here.
I couldn't agree more. We are headed, and we'll get better at Dirt Cup or every one of our races. But if you just look at the crowd lately, we are seeing younger people coming
100%.
In. 100%. High school kids are coming in and enjoying our show. Families with young kids are coming back. And, I mean, it's pretty exciting what we can build here.
We're getting younger. We're getting better. I've worked for you for a couple of years now. You know I'm a numbers guy and constantly diving in the numbers and averages on what we need to do. And I think that, we're up, and a lot of tracks this year are down. Yeah. And we have made changes, and our attendance is up. And I feel like we're probably one of the few dirt tracks in the country where weekly attendance is up, not just major events, which is super exciting. And I think that bodes shows the testament of what we're doing is actually working.
I agree with that. I think we got, again, back to the great team mm-hmm. doing our work mm-hmm. right. Also, one thing we do have, we're super fortunate. We don't have a lot of competition, so we're not yeah. we're not Indiana.
yeah.
You know, we don't have a bunch of dirt tracks really close to us. But that's good for us. That makes
it
us
is.
Different, and it helps us, but we can't rely on that. We got to still be really good
I mean,
every
for
week.
For listeners that don't know where we are, we're an hour south of Vancouver, British Columbia. We're an hour north of Seattle. Mm-hmm. No dirt tracks out here, but then we have the competition in the cities. I mean, Seattle feel like, you know, got the Mariners right now that are playing incredible baseball and on the cusp of making the playoffs, and that hasn't happened a lot for the Seattle Mariners over the course of the last quarter century. So, you know, they got the league leader in home runs, Seahawks starting, UW football is firing up this weekend. Like, there's a lot of competition, but we're still swimming in the water with them, and that's exciting.
Yeah, and I don't want to get in trouble here, but I think sprint car racing is more exciting than baseball.
So oh, that's just I'm not going to disagree.
Personal opinion.
not going to. I love baseball, but
yeah, the pitch clock has helped baseball.
It has.
A lot.
Yeah, but yeah. a 410 sprint car. Like, I mean, I was on. Like I've spent the last 3 days on the radio in Bellingham on three different radio stations each morning, and I've talked about that to their listeners on the morning radio. Like a 410 sprint car, it has one purpose. Everything on that is made. On there to make it go faster. I mean, we're 950 horsepower, 1,425 yeah, yeah. pounds. Mm-hmm. They are just, pardon my friend, they're just badass. There's yeah, yeah. no other yeah, way yeah. to put it.
Yeah. And it's getting those new fans in here. It's a high percentage of the fans we get here are coming back. They have a great night.
Eric can attest, like, I feel like on a weekly show, we've got a lot of high schoolers that kind of come and hang out.
Yeah.
And I told an employee, like, I
want
to be that high school hangout where it's Saturday night. Where are we going? Where are the high school buddies going? We're going to go to Skagit Speedway. Whether they are paying much attention or not, they're creating that bond with us that 10 years from now, they're going to have those memories and want to continue to come to Skagit Speedway. And that's how we create those lifelong fans and season ticket holders.
And I think as a parent, that's where you want your kid hanging out, too. Yeah. It's a good group of people.
It is.
Geared toward the family. Mm-hmm. You know, Amelia runs around here, our 12-year-old daughter, and she's safe, and she's got good friends, and people watch out for her. And I'm really proud of that family atmosphere and that safe atmosphere.
I said you hit it, the safe atmosphere. You want, I mean, I'm a 22-year-old. I don't have a family, but you want kids and families to come and feel safe. And every time I'm here at Skagit Speedway, I feel safe.
You and should. If there's a problem, we take care of it right away. And, you know, it's I think again, you guys, the whole team here does a great job of that. It should feel safe and let your kids run a little round down on the grass and stuff and have some fun.
Fight over a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Eric broke up a fight last week. They were fighting over T-shirts. It. Had to get on there. Not even
I didn't
fight.
Break
That's
up,
probably not really
no.
fight. But they were getting rowdy for the T-shirts that he was throwing up. He had to get, guys, we got plenty of free T-shirts.
Yeah.
Don't kill your neighbor for a T-shirt. We'll get you one.
Yeah.
But the thing I appreciate too, Kev, is, you know, I feel like you're going out to a lot of races now, and I get those texts from you when you're at a racetrack like, hey, this is what they're doing here. Let's give that a shot there, because, you know, a lot of these tracks at high limit, especially on the West Coast, I haven't been to. Now, if we're talking east of the Mississippi, I've probably covered the ground pretty well there, but the West Coast. So I think that's key to our growth, is you being able to get out and see some things that they're doing and bringing that here to Skagit.
Every place you go, you learn something every day. And every time I go to a different track, I learn a little bit, and there's something we can take away from everybody's program. You know, even sometimes if it's not great, it's the stuff we don't want to do.
Yeah.
We got to make sure this doesn't happen at our track.
So what's the next thing you want to see happen at Skagit Speedway, whether improve, change, to make it better? Do you have any?
It's a long list. Okay. I tell people,
get
you know,
tower,
the first.
Get our tower up.
Yeah, we need a tower. We need a permanent tower, you know.
Which should be coming.
I really, in my head, I want to build some sort of Hall of Fame building where even there can be a little restaurant in there or mm-hmm. something for our big events, but that stays open when the track's not even open.
I mean, you saw, I don't know if you got up there, but at Kings Royal, what they were able to do with the ballroom. I don't know if you got a chance to get up to the ballroom and see that. My mom and dad were at Kings Royal and spent a lot of time in there, and that was really neat. I think one of the problems we run into here is space.
Yeah. Well, we got to get, jurisdictionally, we got to get in line and get them on board with us to let us add a few things that are going to help the community, you know. Mm-hmm. We're a good positive economic impact for the community, and we just got to keep plugging away.
I mean, you and I were working on some stuff with the county, and one of the things that we want to do here is we want to work with the county. We want to be an asset to the, not only an asset to them, but an asset that they can use, not just us use, but they can come in if they need a space that they can use it as well, not just us.
And I think we are an asset to the community, and we can be more of an asset. Yeah. We just got to get some of our time and spend with them and show them what we can do, and it'll work out. It's just nothing happens fast enough.
That's a fact. That's a fact. We're working on it, though. You guys, I feel like what you and John and your team have been able to accomplish in the last 6 months with the county, I feel like we've taken a lot more steps in the last 6 months than we had in the first 12 months I was here.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
So we're definitely improving.
The county's working better with us. We're understanding better what they want, and we're headed. Everybody's headed the right direction.
This weekend, we pay $126,000 to win. Well, you know, the one of the highest paying races on the West Coast,
the highest race on the West Coast.
The highest on the high limit racing schedule. Just this state of sprint car racing on the West Coast, I feel like has never been better. Would you agree with the amount of money that's kind of Skagit has been able to contribute?
90%. We don't have as many cars as we once had, but we can get there. We're headed the right direction. And what I've always said is we got to pay these teams, these owners, these drivers to keep them coming. So the big purses make it more attractive to get new owners out, bring up young drivers, and I don't think we're done. I think you're going to see this purse grow, and I think not only on the West Coast but nationwide, there's some really exciting stuff happening for sprint car racing.
Yeah.
And for sure on the West Coast, there's more coming, even if it's Trophy Cup this year or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
One thing that made me feel good that we're going in the right direction, Kevin, I haven't even told you this yet, but when I was back home for Knoxville Nationals, kind of talking with some teams, and teams were talking to me about what's happening on the West Coast, our weekly pay and big event pay, is a prominent crew chief that's very well connected in the community told me, I think if you guys keep doing what you're doing in the next 3 years, you're going to start to see teams that relocate to the Pacific Northwest to run Skagit weekly on a Saturday night and have a program out here just on Saturday nights to run Skagit weekly and then have a program wherever else they are, but they leave a car up here if things keep going the direction they're going up here. And I thought, that's pretty dang cool that's something that some teams are, you know, these teams are already chatting about. I think that speaks volumes to what's going on up here and, you know, what you've allowed us to do. I mean, you have to give us the green light to do these things, and you do.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome statement, and I think that's what we want. We want more teams to have this be their home track where they can come here and run a weekly program and at least break even or come close to it, you know, have a chance to break even.
And you know how tough that is. I mean, you've owned a sprint car for what are we on, 29 years now?
Yeah.
I think it's 29.
Yeah, I got one when I was 4 years old. So
yes. 29. Yeah. 29.
Wow.
No,
Eric's running the math over there in his head. I see his wheels.
Yeah, that went right by Eric. He's okay.
That's all right. We don't.
He
have
thinks
him.
He's you. So
math is he's average at math. It's the spelling that we get quite concerned on. But that's another story, Kev.
Okay.
There's a reason I type, Kevin. I lost my train of thought now.
It's exciting here, Kev. I mean, you can feel, you know, the atmosphere that's building here, especially in the pits. I know we have 38. But we've got 38 strong teams, and it's going to grow. I mean, we've had some hurdles, but John and I have been, and you have been beating the phone in to get teams up here, and I feel like it's going to grow next year. And I think Dirt Cup next year, I think we're going to hit that elusive hurdle that we've been striving so hard for.
The 50
that
car mark.
Pounded on the door. I think next year we cross it.
I agree. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a 50 up here for this event next
100%.
Year. 100%. Yeah, I mean, we're headed the right direction for sure.
What's your pitch to teams who are maybe on the fence of coming to Dirt Cup this year and coming to the Skagit Nationals this year to get them to come next year?
Well, it's always what the bottom line that drives these guys a lot of times, they want to be here. It costs money to get here. So some tow money, you know, a couple of free pit passes to each team, whatever it takes to help them. Get over that hurdle, and then not having any other association schedule against us would be really helpful. So we'll get that cleared up, and we'll be on our way. But it's just – and letting those teams know we want them here.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Going in there, shaking their hand, say, man, I want you here.
I think you take a lot of pride in this. I talked to several of the teams that came out for Dirt Cup, and you've talked to them too. And one of them told me, Heath Moyle, that he's been in the game a long time. It's Brent Marks' crew chief. He's been at KKR. He's been everywhere. He said he's never been thanked more for coming to a facility than what he was when the 19 came out here for Dirt Cup. And that was like, we'll be here every year until we're not. You know, that was incredible. Little things like that. And it wasn't only our employees, it's our race fans too that showed their appreciation for, hey, we know you have other options that weekend, but you're choosing to run here, and that means a lot.
Absolutely. And it's the teams and the fans. We need to thank both of them every day. We need those fans, and we need the teams, because without either one, you're screwed.
Yeah. I mean, I love seeing the car counts, but on race night, I think I'd hate to tell you, Kevin, how many times I check the ticket scans. Because it's like every 5 minutes when I'm in. How many scans are we at now? How many are we at now? How many do we need to beat last year's number? That's what makes me tick.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see a bigger crowd tonight, and then tomorrow I bet we'll be plumb full again like last year.
See, that was what was so fun last night was I feel like everyone I talked to, man, this is a bigger Thursday night crowd than we had before. Man, this is – so I can't wait to see what Friday's going to be like or tonight and Saturday will be like, because if it keeps trending that way, I think we could have probably one of the biggest crowds we've ever had here.
I like it because it becomes that Bristol elusive theory that Bristol had in the 90s and the 2000s of we got to get there. You have to get there.
Yeah.
That's what we want here. Yeah. I want that Bristol vibe of
a young couple came by in the pits yesterday, and I didn't remember that. Well, anyway, we got to go find them. They are here from New Zealand on their honeymoon.
They have reached out to us. There's two. I know of two couples that have reached out to us that have said they came over from New Zealand to spend their
This guy came up, introduced himself to me, and it was – I'm like, you what? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, that's a nice wife that decides, okay, let's go on our honeymoon to Skagit Speedway, right?
We can't appreciate them enough. I mean, that they chose to want to come here, so thank you to them.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And I'm sorry I don't remember their names, but they were super nice people.
I can find it. They've sent us a message, which is great. I've seen those. Yeah, they've sent us a Facebook message, Eric, so we just need to find it, and we can get that mentioned. But that's fun. I think that shows – that we're trending in the right direction here. I think, I mean, all signs have showed that, but I think that just reiterates it, that Skagit's the place to be. So if you're listening, I mean, we can see where people are listening from on the podcast, which is neat, all over the world.
We're growing. It's growing. To watch the
so
map.
Get to Skagit. Come out and see us. Skagit Nationals Dirt Cup weekly show. Enjoy the sights of the Pacific Northwest. It's beautiful out here. Come spend a week with us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin. We'll take no more of your time than that. So thank you for joining us on this special edition of On the Gas, presented by Skagit Speedway. You can get your tickets online, skagitspeedway.com. We're racing the rest of this weekend and then through the rest of September with sprint cars, modifieds, Hornets, and everything else. Find us online, skagitspeedway.com. And Kevin, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Kev.
Recording. All right, you gentlemen ready?
I'm ready.
Awesome.
Hit it.
Well, welcome into this special edition of On the Gas, presented by Skagit Speedway. It's night number two of the Skagit Nationals with Kubota High Limit Racing, and I'm Blake Anderson. I'm Larry. We'll do this again.
You can want to be
Blake
me.
Anderson.
I think you leave that in there.
And I'm Eric List. Happy to be here.
You don't want to be
Kevin Rudine.
So you win out of this.
Yeah, I'm the winner.